Hello, college students. This is Tripp, and I am so glad you've been joining us for the first 30 college devotions. I hope they've been helpful to you, and I also hope that you'll consider passing these along to your friends, your roommates, anyone else you know, so they can be encouraged too. One of the biggest things I hear students say that they look forward to in college is freedom. The idea that, hey, no more bedtime, no more curfew, no more opinions about what I wear each day. By the way, most college students quickly learn that with great freedom comes great responsibility, but treated responsibly, freedom indeed can be a wonderful thing. Unfortunately, though, many college students do not enjoy that freedom responsibly. And what they find is the very expressions of freedom have the reverse effect. Here's what I mean. They set out looking for freedom, but they end up becoming enslaved to what they choose to do with that freedom. For example, many students have embraced drugs or alcohol as an expression of freedom, partying, and they've become alcoholics, drug addicts, or have even made life-altering decisions while under the influence. The very thing that they did in the name of freedom ended up stealing abundant life from them. This idea is true for things not as severe as drugs or alcohol as well. Some students enjoy the attention that they get from others when they dress a certain way or maybe when they post certain pictures. In celebrating the freedom to do this, though, they end up becoming enslaved to a need for attention or likes or just being affirmed by other people. Whatever it is, the reality is that God does not want us to be enslaved to anyone or anything. He wants us to experience freedom in a way that honors Him, and He wants us to experience a full and satisfying life. Please, please, please know God is for you, and He wants the best for you, and He wants you to experience life to the max. But such a life is only found in abiding in Christ. Today, I want to share three important reminders from a story of one of Jesus's best friends. Now, this story is found in John chapter 11, and it's the story of Lazarus. Jesus receives word one day that his good friend Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, is sick. Well, Jesus responds in chapter 11, verse 4, by saying, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Scripture points out in verse 5 that now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So Jesus had a great love for these friends of his. Scripture wants to make a big deal out of that. Jesus cared deeply for these people. That's why the next verse seems just a little bit odd. In verse 6 it says, "So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. What? If Jesus loved Lazarus so much and he knew he was sick, why would Jesus stay where he was for 2 more days? Well, we later learn that Jesus wanted to do a far bigger miracle than what they were even asking for. In the following verses, we see three truths that I think every college student needs to grasp. The first one is this: there is nothing too dead for Jesus. In verse 17, it says, "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Lazarus wasn't just dead, he was dead dead. In fact, when Jesus reached the tomb, they were worried about the stench of what was on the inside of the tomb. The fourth day was pretty significant because in Jewish tradition, they believed that the spirit hovered over the body for 3 days. But after 3 days, they were completely gone. If you ever feel like you or someone else is too gone for God to save or for Jesus to heal, know that that is a lie. Someone once told me, no matter how many steps you take away from God, it only takes one to get back to Him. That step is a step of surrender and a step of obedience. How awesome is it to think that no matter our condition, Jesus is able to give life? That's our second truth we see here. Jesus came to give life. In verse 38, says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Well, then Jesus blew their minds when he called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. In verse 44, it says, the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. All right, can you imagine the response that everyone seeing this mummy come walking out of the tomb had? Unbelievable. Now, notice this. At the beginning of the story, the disciples were expecting Jesus to heal a sick man. But we see now that Jesus wanted to demonstrate that he can raise a dead man, that he can bring life to that which had none. The sisters, they were wanting a healing. Jesus wanted a resurrection. Well, that's what Jesus does. He heals. He gives life. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus died so that we can experience life. Life eternal in heaven for everyone who puts their faith in him, and life abundant on this earth for all who abide in him. The last truth we see in this that I want to point out today is that Jesus came to set free. We see that Lazarus emerged from the tomb wrapped in the death clothes of a mummy. But in verse 44, Jesus said to them, to those standing around, take off the grave clothes and let him go. See, Lazarus was alive, but he was still wrapped in all the trappings of the grave. We need to understand that Jesus not only wants to give life, but free from all former evidence of death. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Jesus doesn't set us free to remain in bondage to anyone or anything. He came to set fully free. Now, before we wrap this up, I think it's important that we go back and quickly note the shortest verse in Scripture in the context of this story. Now, most of us know the verse, but we may not understand the context of it. In John 11:35, it says, Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Well, Jesus wept because those he loved wept. Jesus loves us with a perfect and unlimited love of a father, and he cares deeply when we hurt. I believe Jesus also wept because although his friends believed he could heal a sick man, they failed to see that he could and wanted to do immeasurably more than they even thought to ask. Today, do you believe that God wants to do more in your life than you may even think to ask? Do you feel distant and away from God? Do you ever feel like you've done something so bad that Jesus can't bring healing? Is there anything, maybe a past mistake, an addiction, an attitude, that is robbing you of life? If so, let me encourage you today to walk in the freedom of Jesus, the one who not only wants to give you life, but completely, totally free you from all that would keep you from experiencing abundant life in him. If you don't get anything else, get this today. Jesus not only wants to give you life, but completely free you from all that would keep you from experiencing abundant life in him. Hey, know that we love you. Know that we believe in you. We're praying for you. And go and live in that abundant life today. And I can't wait to hear from you and see all that God is doing in your life.